I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Oftentimes on a Friday, we do a little music and have some fun with our friend Tim Sommer, music journalist, former record executive. He writes at the Rock and Roll Globe. He's become a good friend, too, so we got a few things to discuss music-wise. Bad Bunny being the Super Bowl halftime performer, very confusing to me. Darius Rucker, you know, Tim was the guy that signed Hootie and the Blowfish and knows Darius very well, wrote a book about this. He's got a new supergroup, which is kind of interesting, and the Swifty album dropped today, and I kind of like it. I listened to it for just a little while earlier, and I'm very curious to see what my daughter thinks of that. We have Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe. I'm not sure if he's a Swifty or not. We're going to find out this afternoon. Governor, how are you? Where do you stand on Tay-Tay?
Mark, it's great to be on with you this afternoon. Before I get to Tay-Tay, what is a bad bunny?
Is that something
that goes awry during the Easter season, or what happens?
Well, you know what's funny about that is I can very specifically answer that question because you probably don't know this about me, but we have something at my home called the Reardon Zoo. So I have two dogs, I have three cats, and I have a bunny that chews on things in my home, especially iPad and iPhone charging cables. So Oreo, my bunny, can be a bad bunny. But yeah, the guy doing the halftime show, I got nothing for you. I really don't.
Yeah, I've never heard of him before. Tay-Tay, you know, she's getting married to our man Travis Kelce.
That's right.
So, you know, the Chiefs are the NFL team of the state of Missouri. We want to keep them here. And so it makes Travis happy, makes me happy.
By the way, they play Monday Night Football against the Jaguars this weekend, the Chiefs do. All right, so let me just start with the government shutdown. I don't know what kind of effect this has on any of our operations here in Missouri, or if you have any thoughts on where we are with that in Washington. I mean, is it something that your office has to get involved with, or is it just everything operates on the federal level?
No, I mean, the early days into it, no, it's not going to affect the day-to-day operations of what most Missourians would encounter or need or rely on from the federal government. But, you know, just look at this for a minute. I mean, it's ridiculous what's happening is that Chuck Schumer is claiming that they have, you know, they have no responsibility to this. Some of the more liberal media outlets are acting like they're not reading the bill. I mean, it's crystal clear that they want to spend $1.5 billion on Medicaid for our illegal aliens. And I think most Missourians, no matter what party, would find that offensive. I mean, that program is supposed to be for Americans. It's paid for with American taxpayer dollars. And I don't blame the president. As a matter of fact, the president and Congress and Senate, I'm happy that they're saying, no, we're not doing this anymore. And so that's really where it comes down to. And I hope that the some of the Democrats can come to their senses and can come over and vote and get the continuing resolution going.
Yeah, I don't see how they get out of this without caving relatively quickly, but we'll see what happens next week. My prediction is, by the way, it's always wrong, so you should maybe put some money on the other side, is that midweek by next week this will be over with, so we'll see. Now, let's talk about immigration in particular here, because you have authorized the National Guard to support ICE in Missouri, correct?
We called up the National Guard to support ICE. Christy Noem has been great for us and trying to make sure we get illegals out of this country so that, again, it's almost like the other conversation. We need to be taking care of folks that are born here, paying taxes here, and protect our citizens. You know, in Missouri, the number one killer of Missourians between 18 and 44 is fentanyl. Most, if not all, but a large majority of that fentanyl comes across the borders. Making sure that we keep our Missourians safe and protect ICE. And the National Guard, by the way, they're going to do a backup duty, so they're going to help in some of our ICE offices around the state to where ICE agents can then get back out onto the street and do what they do best. So it's a partnership with them, and our Guard is ready to go. They're well-trained, and we're happy to assist.
But this is separate from any kind of activity that might be involved with fighting crime, for example, in downtown St. Louis. I mean, has there been, the president's mentioned Missouri, has there been any communication from the White House on that front?
Yeah, it is definitely separate. And yeah, we have heard that several times, president, various people of the administration. I think the context that they're using that is that, look, we need to make sure crime is under control in our major cities. You've seen, oh my goodness gracious, you've seen what's happening in Portland. The president used his authority to do this in Washington, D.C. I was just there this week. It's made a huge difference. You're hearing restaurant people, cab drivers, Uber drivers saying they haven't seen people out in D.C. like this ever before. Remember, in St. Louis, we're thankful, and I know the administration understands this, we took action into our own. You know, a year and a half or so ago, we put Gabe Gore in there through the help of Andrew Bailey and others to make sure that we had a great prosecutor. Chief Tracy's done a great job moving the needle, but couldn't quite do what he needed to do in the previous administration. So you have a new mayor there, and now you have a new police board of local citizens who are doing the right thing to make sure crime is, and the police officers get the resources they need. And then the crime bill that we passed in the legislature by your own folks in St. Louis that were the leaders there, Brad Crist in South St. Louis, Representative Nick Shore in St. Charles County as a senator, gave law enforcement 24 tools they desperately needed to get out and fight crime. So some things we've taken on our own to be proactive so we don't have to wait for help to come in. And I can tell you the administration appreciates those actions that we've taken.
Yeah, well, and, you know, I haven't talked to you since you signed the map into, you know, legislation or, you know, welcomed the new legislative map. We haven't talked about that yet. You know, I was a little uncomfortable with doing this map again just because I think it sets a bad precedent. But I understand when you get a call from the White House and they want to do something. And I guess the legislature comes back into the special session. They do this relatively quickly with the initiative petition reform. But what would you say about how these districts are changing? And, you know, obviously you're using your political capital at this point.
Well, it reflects more of Missouri's values. And the map that we passed back in 2002, you know, there weren't a lot of people happy about that. It locked down our legislature for a long time and it had a little bit of a spaghetti district to it. It wasn't compact like the Constitution called. Look at Illinois' map. You'll really see a gerrymandered map. I'm really tired of people saying Missouri's map is now gerrymandered. No, I would just ask you, Google Illinois map. That's all I want you to do. And then compare it to the Missouri First map that we just passed in session with the help of the House and Senate. And now Missourians will have a chance. All the congressional members live in still the same number of districts they did before this map was passed. And we think it represents and reflects what Missourians are all about. And we're hopeful that it works out.
Earlier this afternoon on the Reardon Roundtable, and I've done this publicly before, I have offered to knock on doors and put up yard signs for Cori Bush here in St. Louis because she's entered this race again and she's just the gift that keeps on giving to Missouri. Now, Governor, I say that in jest clearly because I do think, and even though I don't agree with Wesley Bell on probably most of the issues, he is a better representative from a Democrat district than Cori Bush ever was or will be.
Well, Cori Bush is in the squad and AOC and all these other folks that are to the extreme left of the Democrat is a reflection of what you've seen in the Democrat Party. And again, that's the other reason for the map. We don't think Hakeem Jeffries, who's indicated that he's about to and possibly could endorse a admitted socialist for mayor in New York, we do not think those values meet Missouri values, even Missouri Democrat values. The Democrat Party has gone so far left, even Democrats don't recognize them anymore. And as I tell people all the time, my mother, our family, as you know, raised in North St. Louis, working class family, Irish immigrants, all Democrats, all my family, never knew one. But my mother always said the same thing Ronald Reagan did. She didn't leave the Democrat Party. They left her. And with the addition of the Cori Bushes, the AOCs of the world, it really is so radical that their own party members don't even recognize it anymore.
Let me ask you about North St. Louis, because, Governor, a week ago today, I took a trip up there to see some of the tornado damage. I had not traveled up and really seen anything, and, you know, there's a lot of cleanup that's needed. I know that Senator Hawley's been in the news the last couple of days, you know, wondering what's going on with FEMA. There was a Wall Street Journal article earlier this week that focused specifically on St. Louis and on some of the, you know, complications from getting some of this aid. What can you say about the aid that is still needed here and how your office is working with the feds to get some of this help here quicker than, you know, sooner rather than later, I guess is what I'd say.
Well, I've been there many, many times since the tornado, including 12 hours afterwards and multiple times since then. And we did get great news from the feds, and Senator Hawley and Senator Schmidt and our congressional delegation were all very helpful, where the federal government has come in with $150 million plus package that will help us clean up North St. Louis. Now, the Corps of Engineers will have some oversight and be helpful to it, but they've given us kind of the football. So our state emergency management agency can go out for bid, get contractors that are professionals and come in and take out the buildings that were damaged due to the tornado, not ones that were there damaged before the tornado, and really start the cleanup effort. So the city's happy with that process. Our congressional delegation has been involved and has been happy with that. So we just got the green light on that in the last few weeks, and we are putting those that to work right now.
You probably saw the news, and I'm guessing your office was involved in this, and sometimes I don't say nice things about St. Louis or the airport, but we got great news this week with this, you know, British Airways flight that will start next spring to London. That's outstanding. We talked about that on the roundtable as well. That's some great economic news, right?
That's awesome, and don't forget, Lufthansa has added two more flights, so they'll have five flights a week. Those are the things that we need to happen. Now we need to get to that next step with the airport. I know the business community, you saw just in the last few days, Greater STL has announced they have a new executive director, RBC there in St. Louis. Multiple people are involved. And what do we need to do to not only make sure we have an airport that is acceptive and all-encompassing to flights with better destinations and connections, but the area around the airport is also really important, so that when you get off that flight and you're a CEO of a Fortune 500 or 100 company, the first thing you see is something that you represent St. Louis and what we're all about. There's a lot of people rowing in the same direction on the airport for the first time in a long time. I'm optimistic we actually can get something done with the additional flights and actually a physical new infrastructure piece out there in the form of buildings.
Will you be, Governor Mike Kehoe, at the Alabama-Mizzou game next Saturday?
I am hopeful to be there.
Sounds like the schedule might have complications.
Well, you know, sometimes the schedule gets ahead of you, and then you look back saying, who scheduled me on that day? Didn't they know Alabama was
playing? See, I'm trying to help you out here, Mike. I'm trying to make sure you look at the staff and say that schedule's clear, because that's going to be a huge day in Columbia. It really will. Look, the team is looking outstanding. They have the bye this week. The stadium looks crazy because of all the construction. It's a little weird.
Mizzou is doing really good. Drinkowitz is doing a fantastic job. We've got some really good, high-quality players, and Mizzou Nation has really showed up for some of these games, and we're proud to have such a great team and a great facility that's under construction. We're going to win against Bama. Don't be betting against
them,
Mark.
I'm feeling good about it. They have Vanderbilt
tomorrow
at home. You
need to be feeling good.
No, I am feeling good. I'm going to try to make it. Maybe we'll see you there. Thanks, Mike. Thanks for coming on tonight, Governor.
All right, buddy. Thank
Appreciate
you.
It. Governor Mike Kehoe with us for a quick visit on a Friday night. We don't often do the you know, the serious stuff, but we wanted to get the governor. When the governor calls, we take his call. If you will. So we got Tim Summer coming up with some music stuff. Before I get to that, and I do have audio cut of the day, there was something else. You know, I played this earlier in the roundtable, and I this is the kind of stuff that drives me nuts. And I don't know if this is ever. Well, I know the answer. This is rhetorical. If this will be called out. So you have a lot of people, for example, this week. Let me juxtapose something here, Sue, for you. You know, we played the, I don't need to play it again, the AI Schumer. Maybe I can play just a little bit of it. You know, it was the computer-generated Chuck Schumer, which is essentially satire, right? And,
yes.
And it made, you know, it was funny. It was funny. So you have some of the, here's part of it. I'll just play a little part here.
There's no way to sugarcoat it. Nobody likes Democrats anymore. We have no voters left because of all of our woke trans bullshit.
So obviously it's satire. He goes on. It's a very funny bit. It also has Hakeem Jeffries with a sombrero. So a lot of the people, even some conservatives, establishment conservatives, like Peggy Noonan writes in the Wall Street Journal this morning, very critical of some of these things. She didn't like Pete Hegseth's speech, for example. A lot of people don't like this. They don't think it's proper. And that's fine. And you can say that. And I've said things in the past about, you know, whether or not Trump is presidential enough. I've kind of gotten over that. But what I would say is, do you think there'll be anybody that even circles back around on a ridiculous nonsense soundbite like this? So this is Chris Hayes on MSNBC with Senator Bernie Sanders.
Senator, you've served in Congress and then the Senate, and you served through a number of different administrations with different presidents. And I've covered a number of shutdowns. I've never seen a president during a shutdown kind of gloating about the ability to punish people or to take stuff away from people in states that didn't vote for him. Have you seen that before?
No, of course we haven't. You know, Chris, we are living in an unprecedentedly dangerous moment, maybe the worst crisis in America literally since the Civil War.
I mean, are you kidding me? We're in the worst crisis since the Civil War. So the Nazi stuff, I guess they're laying off the Nazi stuff right now. They're going to go back to the Civil War. That is just utterly ridiculous.
It
and
is.
Anyone with any sense of journalistic integrity, which Chris Hayes doesn't have, would say, okay, maybe I can agree with you on some of this stuff, Senator, but that was a really dumb thing to say. Are you freaking kidding me? I hate that stuff. I hate, even Barack Obama, you know, even though he's saying stupid things right now, at least he had the courage and the guts at one point in his presidency to acknowledge that we've made such strides in racial relations. You wouldn't know that in the last, you know, 4 years. You'd think we were back in slave time,
yep.
Right? Because they get away with saying stupid things. Did you see the thing last week with, and I don't want to misidentify the Williams sister, but with Venus and Serena in the hotel where they had just a cotton
Serena.
Plant?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then she takes a video and she says, that's racist for you to have this decoration in there because it was a cotton plant. I mean,
what?
Really? I don't know.
You're probably wearing cotton.
I think a lot of it,
yeah.
Right? Tay-Tay's new album came out. We got new stuff from Springsteen. We got Bad Bunny doing the halftime show. Tim Summers is going to weigh in on all of this coming up.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
It's one of my early favorites here. Second cut on The Life of a Showgirl.
That view of Puerto
I've listened to most of the album today. I'm very curious to see what my daughter's going to say, because she will, by now, having been off school for a couple hours, have listened to it. I am a fan. I'm not just doing it because I want to check it out, but I am a fan of Taylor's. And Tim Sommer is with us tonight to weigh in. Music journalist, former record executive, contributes to the Rock and Roll Globe website. I know that you're not probably the biggest Taylor Swift fan, and I'm not saying that she's my number one artist, but I am a fan, and I was very curious what this album was going to be like. And so far, I like it. I like that song, Elizabeth Taylor. How are you, Tim?
You know, it's always a pleasure, and you know I mean that from the bottom of my heart, to join you and your listeners on this show. I actually am a little bit of a Taylor Swift fan. As I think you know, I'm more of a fan of her phenomena, meaning I believe she has turned an entire generation of young people into music fans, not just people who listen to records or skip around on the Spotify or just jump around and, you know, go from song to song. She's making people care about music. And honestly, I thought about this. In my entire lifetime, I can't think of another release that was as anticipated as this one. I remember back in the 1980s when Michael Jackson would release a new record, it would be a big, big deal. And I remember when the Rolling Stones would put out new records, oh, it was a big deal. When Bob Dylan would put out new records in the 1970s and 80s, there'd be lots of hype. But nothing like this. And I love the way that she is making young people like your daughter, people younger than your daughter, people 11, 12, 9 years old, care about music, care about listening to records. Now, I've listened to this record a bunch. I'm getting sort of Stevie Nicks light vibe from a lot of the songs. I don't know about you.
That might not be too far through. I mean, I'm only one listen through 6 or 7 songs, so I have to dig in a little bit more. But here's what I'm curious about. I'm really curious with my daughter, because these kids, they move on very, very quickly. And when all this was happening with her tour a couple years ago in the movie, my daughter was all in, but she's moved on to different artists like Benson Boone, and she likes this Olivia Dean right now. And what's interesting, Tim, is, and I don't know, maybe it's because of the release today, and it could be, she always is, calling out the music in my car. Her name is Alexa, so we don't really have much use in our home for an Alexa device because it's always going off. But in my car, I have it. And, you know, yesterday she pulled up 2 Taylor Swift songs from her first album. I'm like, well, that's interesting, because you haven't really been that interested in Swifty. So part of me is wondering if all her fans that were so into her 2 or 3 years ago have kind of waned a little bit, not based on
that's
the anticipation for the record.
That's an excellent question, and I have some thoughts about that. But let me ask you a question quickly. Do you think she cares more about music because, in my theory, do you think she cares more about music because Taylor Swift got her involved in the idea of listening closely and following different artists, Did that make her?
Yeah, I do.
You do?
Absolutely,
okay.
I do. I absolutely do.
Now,
it broadened, you know, that was like maybe the path for broadening her horizons in music a little bit. Now, she's been into music for a long time. She went and saw Katy Perry in concert in Vegas when she was like 6 years old, which was probably a bad parenting decision, but she's always, you know, been into music. But now she's getting into a little bit more rock and roll. I like to call her out on that because she makes fun of me for rock and roll. And then I hear a song that she likes. I'm like, hey, that's a rock song. But this album, let me play just a little bit here. The one thing I have a little concern about is this is a song called Wishlist, which, by the way, seems like Taylor's ready to settle down with Travis and have some babies. But just listen to part of the lyrics here.
They want, they deserve what they want. I hope they get what they want. I just want you.
Okay, I brought that part up for a reason, because there are several songs, and this certainly happened on her last album as well, that were explicit, and it doesn't seem like there's a non-explicit version out there. That does create some challenges for parents of kids like my daughter's age, I would say.
And it's interesting. I was seeing online, a friend of mine was talking about the fact that they were excited about playing the new album for their 9-year-old daughter, but they knew there were songs they were going to have to skip, and that concerned me. Something I find very interesting about this record, and I wonder if either consciously or subconsciously, this is something your daughter might be aware of. In the past, throughout her entire career, a huge part of Taylor Swift's appeal has been that she has spoken in the voice of and for the concerns of her audience, her young teenage and tweenage audience. She speaks their thoughts. As I said before, if you can write a song that people are going to quote in their yearbook quote, man, you're going to have a great career. Taylor Swift has written songs where people go, man, that's my thoughts. I thought that. Now, Taylor Swift is, this album is more from the perspective of someone who is succeeding, someone who is even rich, someone who is happy, and she seems to be moving away from the idea of writing for an audience and their concerns. And you know what? Teenage girls and girls a little past teenage and girls a little under teenage are going to notice that. They're going to notice that when someone is writing about the trials and tribulations of being a rich, successful person, what it's like to have a successful, rich, and excuse my French, well-endowed boyfriend, which is something she sings about on the album, she's no longer singing about the things that your average sort of ninth or tenth grader is thinking and concerned about. She's singing about things that concerns a 30-something multi-millionaire, possibly even a billionaire by now, named Taylor Swift. And I think ultimately that is going to alienate her audience.
Yeah, you know, it'll be interesting because the girls that I know and the Alexis friends and everything, they love sing along to the songs and they kind of understand the songs, right? These are songs that are a little bit more lyrically, I don't want to say complex, but to your point, they're more mature.
Right.
More mature subject matters, and it's not as much of a pop sing-along as some of the other stuff. I mean, certainly in the last record, she was doing that a bit as well. But, I like to listen to a variety of different music, and I knew it was coming out today, and I knew my daughter would be listening, so I put it on during a couple of different trips, this morning, and I liked it quite a bit. We'll go out with one of these songs here. I like this Elizabeth sure. Taylor song, but hang on. We're going to talk more about much more music with Tim Sumner in a moment.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
2, 3, 4.
Now, this is a very, very different than your used to version of Born in the USA from Bruce Springsteen. And it's being released on something called Nebraska 82, which is an updated version, a little bit more electrified version of Nebraska.
Born down in a dead man's town. First kick it took was when I hit
now,
the ground.
Tim Summer is with us to talk music. I've seen a variety of different versions, angry acoustic versions of this song for many, many years. But as you know, there's a guy by the name of Warren Zanes. He was in one of my favorite bands of the 80s called the Del Fuegos, Tim. And he wrote a book called Deliver Me From Nowhere, The Making of Bruce Springsteen's Nebraska.
That's
it
right.
It came out last year, 2 years ago at this point. I know Warren just a little bit. I love the Del Fuegos. When they came on a little reunion tour, I saw Warren, and his brother Dan has won Grammys for like children's records. He's very talented as well. But Warren, who was a member, I think he might still be a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame board, he's been very involved in music behind the scenes for decades, wrote this book about Bruce, and they're turning it into a movie, which is going to be released in a few weeks. And now there's this audio component with the more electric versions of the Nebraska stuff. So I don't know if you've checked some of this out. There's only two songs that are out.
There are two, you know, there are a couple of the songs that are up, and I'm going to go out on a limb here and say to you and to Sue and to everyone else in your studio and to everyone else listening to this, if you listen to two songs in 2025, listen to the two different versions of Born in the USA that are on the Nebraska 82 Expanded Edition, which comes out in 13 days, 5 hours, and 22 minutes. But these new versions of Born in the USA are already available on streaming services. Just the depth of this man's ability to communicate an idea, and we always knew, and you always knew as a Springsteen fan, that Born in the USA was a far deeper and darker song than something that was just played at political rallies and football stadiums. And man, does that come out in this new, in these new old versions, these demo versions of Born in the USA. This shows just a singer of such depth, of such power, of such meaning. And I think, and I'm going, again, I'm going out on a limb here, which you are absolutely, and you're much more, you're a much bigger Springsteen fan than I am, Mark. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that Nebraska, the old Nebraska, is my favorite Bruce Springsteen album. And I have a feeling once this new version comes out, once this expanded version comes out, it's going to be my favorite album of Bruce Springsteen's times 10. And I mean it when I say that everyone who loves Bruce Springsteen, who loves songwriting, who loves someone who is trying to say something with their voice, their lyrics, and their music should listen to these two old versions, demo versions of Born in the USA, and think about what music can mean and the power of music.
There's a there's another song on the original Nebraska record called Open All Night. It sounds like this.
Yeah.
So this is the original.
Well, I had the carburetor, baby.
And you know, Tim, over the years, when Bruce pulls out songs like this, he doesn't do them exactly the way that he did on Nebraska. And, you know, so I've heard a variety of different versions of this song and of Born in the USA, but this is what it sounds like on Nebraska 82. Maybe a little bit more twang.
Well, I had the carburetor, baby, cleaned.
Not as dramatically different as the Born in the USA version, but you know, with the Tracks 2 release that came out just a few weeks ago as well, you hear a lot of songs that were in the vault and some songs that were, you know, there that have been released on different records, but just with different versions. I always like hearing demos because sometimes they show you how far and how much a producer can really do as well.
Let me, and that's absolutely true, but let me ask you a question. As someone who is both a deeper Springsteen fan than me and someone who admittedly is a little more to the a little more to the right of the political spectrum than I am, but as you know,
a little more.
But you know, I'm very open-minded.
No,
as well.
I know you are.
I'm very open-minded. How have you felt over the years about the misappropriation and misinterpretation of Born in the USA.
I've always tried to correct people on it. Look, I knew from the very beginning, you know, when that was released in the summer of, I guess it would have been 84, June of 1984 is when the record came out, the single. And I knew, well, that was Dancing in the Dark. But the record did come out in 1984, and then the tour started after that. I've always known that, and I've heard the angry versions, you know, that he's done in concert. It's just interesting the way that that song was totally misrepresented, mainly by the Reagan campaign, right? They started using it at rallies. But even today, you'll hear people, you know, they use it as a rah-rah American song. It's just not that. It's about someone coming back from Vietnam who's having a hard time getting a job and, you know, has PTSD and all these other things. So there is more depth to that song. But look, you know, and you and I have talked about this a little bit. I struggle with my current feeling about Mr. Springsteen because of some of the things that he said on stage in Europe and some of the positions he's taken on Trump. And look, I say that from a place where I've always known his politics, okay? But I've seen the dude in concert about 45, 46 times. And the amount of times I've heard politics, you know, in telling me and preaching to me in a way outside of the music, the lyrics, I'm not talking about the musical, you know, component, but, you know, preaching from on stage, saying things like he did in Europe, that's where he kind of lost me, Tim. And I'm struggling with that just a little bit because I try to keep my music and my entertainment separate. It's almost impossible not to. Most of these actors are all lefties. A lot of them are outspoken. I get that. I try to overlook it. Sometimes I can't do it. But so, you know, I want to hear this Nebraska stuff. I'm very curious about the movie. I'm concerned that Jeremy Allen White, who plays Springsteen in the film, is not going to pull off the vocal, you know, quality.
I'm terrified.
Yeah, yeah, because that's what made the Dylan movie work, I think, is Timothy Chalamet really, I thought he, you know, he was authentic. And while I think Jeremy's a good casting choice for playing Bruce, man, the music's got to sell it too, or it's not going to work.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll see.
I am so frightened to see this, and I'm not saying that as a negative to the actor or the makers of the film, that I doubt I'm going to actually see the film. I'm going to have to hear about it from you.
All right. Well, that's fine. I'll clue you in as soon as I can. Hey, you were the guy that signed Hootie and the Blowfish. You wrote a book about him that came out a couple years ago. Fred reported on this. Fred or Sue? Sue, was it you on the supergroup?
Oh, I think it was Fred.
Yeah, Fred, I think you might have been gone one of those days, but Darius is now involved in another...
No, it was me.
Yeah.
The other band.
The other, like a little bit of a mini supergroup, right?
Yes, with Mike Mills from R.E.M., who is the bass player in R.E.M., and Steve Gorman, who is a founding member and drummer of the Black Crowes, and the band is called Owl, Howl, Owl, which looks really good written down, but is a pain in the butt
to say
out loud.
Yeah, it is, right? Yeah. Wait, say that again. Howl, owl, howl?
Howl.
Okay.
Howl.
Yeah.
Howl. You know, and that's, you know, if I had anything still to do with Darius's career, I would have said, nah, that ain't happening. That ain't happening. But then again, and this is a true story, Mark, which I don't think I've told you guys ever on the air. When I first came into contact with Hootie and the Blowfish, and this would be the spring of 1993. And when I first began to think of signing them, I thought to myself, that's one of the worst band names I've ever heard.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so bad that if they hadn't already been together for at that point 6 or 7 years, I would have tried to talk them into changing it. Just a terrible name. And the success of Hootie and the Blowfish just goes to show names do not matter. And maybe this truly dreadful name, Howl, Owl, Howl, which sounds a little like Thurston Howell III or Lovey Howell, maybe then they'll succeed. But I actually have very high hopes for this group. First of all, I know that Darius, and I've known this from knowing Darius now for over 30 years, Darius is the biggest R.E.M. fan I ever met.
Oh.
So the idea that he's now involved with Mike Mills of R.E.M., who, by the way, frequently played with Hootie and the Blowfish on stage.
Oh, I didn't know that. Mm. Well, you know Mike pretty well, I'm guessing, right?
And also, Mike is one of those bass players, and this is not well known and should be well known. Mike, in many ways, Mike was the driving force of R.E.M., like really one of the prime songwriters in the band, and he had a terrific voice, and he wrote a lot of the melodies, and he had a voice. Mike has a voice that's as good as a lead singer's voice. So I have extremely high hopes for this group.
Well, I don't. Are they? Do they have any releases yet? Is there anything out there in the streaming services? I don't think there
is.
Right?
4 weeks away.
Okay.
Yeah, it's coming up.
That's what I thought. All right, Tim Sommer, great to hook up with you. I hope all is well in your world. I'm going to listen to a lot of new music this weekend. I think it's so funny. I can't remember. Remind us how the Hootie and the Blowfish name came about. I know you tell the story in the book, but can you refresh our memory on that?
There was a Darius who has a great sense of humor, and going back to his college days. Sometimes when he would be sitting at a party or just sitting around the dorm, as people would walk in and out of the room, he would, this is absolutely a true story, as people would walk in and out of the room, he would give them nicknames. And,
Oh, that's right.
I saw this myself. Yeah. Darius was always giving people nicknames. He would always just shout out nicknames to people, always make up names for people. So Darius is sitting at a party one day, and these people walk in, one and right after the other, and he goes, "Oh, look, there's Hootie, and there's the Blowfish."
And that was it, wow. Right there.
And Dean, who was his best friend and was the bass player in Hootie and the Blowfish, was sitting next to him, and they had just started a band together. And Dean said to him, "Oh, my God, that's a great name for our band." So there you go.
There you go. All right. Well, I think we should send you an MP3 of you criticizing the new band name, and you should text it to Darius and see his response. How about that?
Darius, he knows that's a terrible band name.
We'll see what the music sounds like. Tim, have a great weekend. I appreciate it.
What a pleasure.
All right, we'll see you. I thought I'd put this in as a musical recommendation this weekend. This is a band called Goose. Now, they're kind of technically a jam band a little bit, and I'm not usually drawn necessarily to jam bands, but I do love this song a lot. It's called Maddalena. So there you go. You know, I had a guy last night at the Hellbig event who pointed out his love for the band UFO from England because he knew that I used to play them on the bumper music, and it's disappointing because there came a point a couple of months ago where they came to me and said, "Mark, the bumper music is too hard for the producers to do. It's taking up too much time." And I get that. It was, you know, a lot of work. I was picking out different songs every day. So my bumper music got stolen away from me, Sue, as I will say, and I'm not happy about it. But every once in a while, I can still play a song, and that's why I wanted to play that song from Goose. I love this new record. It's kind of a record that caught me off guard because I didn't think it was a band like that I would be into as much, but I like the whole record. We have, like, I have serious things that I can use for audio cut of the day, but I'm going to offer something a little bit more entertaining here this afternoon. Let me see if I can check my notes and see what we have going for Monday because Fred already left. Oh. Although I kind of want to share the story of this audio cut of the day and relate it to Fred. What were you going to say?
I was going to say the history of the Lou with Sue this week is the history of aviation in St. Louis.
Oh, nice.
And I think you might enjoy it.
I think that'd be awesome. Tell folks where they can get that.
Right here, 6 p.m. on Sunday, or KMOX Saturday at 1 p.m.
On Monday, I can't remember who mentioned this yesterday. One of our guests yesterday mentioned Rand Paul's six-penny plan to balance the federal budget in 5 years. And I was not particularly familiar with all that. Richard Stern with the Heritage Institute is familiar. He's going to join us on Monday afternoon at 3:30. So I'll set this up, and let me do this.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
So, Sue, you know how a few years ago we told Fred, there's all these different things that the kids say, like Riz and Sus,
right,
and all that stuff.
Right.
So Fred had as his mission, we usually pick a word every year, although the kids are onto him now, that he uses at like the Christmas dinner table or Thanksgiving, and it just kind of comes out of nowhere.
Yes.
And uses the word, right?
We love it.
So along those lines, the St. Louis Blues and their social media team, they asked players to throw six or seven random words into their media interviews, and this is how they did.
Giving our players random phrases to sneak into their media availability.
The phrase is
Big Mama.
You know, everybody came working. It was tough. It was fatiguing. Gonna need Big Mama to come bring me a protein shake. So, I'm definitely looking forward to that.
The phrase is
Shrek.
I was trying to do my best to, like, put the puck in the net, but, like, just, it's like, on the net was Shrek, you know, like, big guy, to just stop in the puck and just...
The phrase is
6-7.
You know, went on the ice, you know, 6-7 time maybe, and you know, I feel like there's been, you know, couple shots, you know, 6-7 shots, maybe block shots.
What is that phrase?
That
what is 6-7?
I have no idea.
Okay,
I'm going
well, they
in.
They used it.
Getting hard time for the other two. The 6-7 D on the other side to, you know.
The phrase is
kerfuffle.
How do you think that kind of worked for you guys last year?
Yeah, I mean, we're love in a bit of a kerfuffle to start, but once we got going, I think we were kind of reading off each other pretty well. And
the phrase is
Taco Tuesday.
I always face the puck. I wasn't, I would have got it right in the shins. Would have ruined my Taco Tuesday for tonight.
That was good. That was good.
The phrase is
hot pocket.
You know, those are two very skilled players. Got a lot of speed. Make things happen. And just got to try to open, you know, open ways and find that hot pocket to just kind of score those goals.
That
and,
is brilliant. I love that. You know who needs to do more of that? Major League Baseball.
Yes.
There's no, they don't have enough fun factor. Miking players up when they're playing doesn't do it for me. Sue, have a great weekend.
You too, Mark.
I'll go out with Goose here. Enjoy this record. It's called Madalena.
Get more at 971talk.com.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, combining raw power with precision engineering, all backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. Climb inside a Tundra and experience the uncompromising strength. With its available iForce Max engine, the Tundra delivers exceptional power, torque, and towing capacity. Plus, the spacious and high-tech cabin keeps you connected on the run. Or check out a Tacoma. Agile, dependable, and unstoppable. The Tacoma's designed for those who go beyond the trails. Stay ahead of the pack with available off-road features like crawl control. Or break out your tunes with the available portable JBL speaker. Toyota trucks are built to last, year after year, mile after mile. So outlast every adventure and outlive the moment. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com, the official website for deals. Or stop by your local Toyota dealer to find out more. Toyota, let's go places.